This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and the Worldwide Wave team continues to be spread out across Melbourne in lounge rooms and nice quiet spaces. So tonight I am joined remotely by Ian.
Hey there, Matt.
Good evening, Stefan.
Good evening.
And welcome, Paul.
Hello. Algeria in North Africa is the world's 10th largest country by area, with a population of 44 million people. Under French rule until 1962, it is a majority Muslim country where Sharia law has applied since 1966. Algeria has repeatedly been singled out for human rights violations, from violating women's rights to poor freedom of press and repressive anti-LGBTIQ laws.
Brian is a lawyer and Algerian activist working with the organisation TransHomoDZ. It is extremely difficult to speak with LGBTIQ activists in Algeria as everything is hidden, not only because of anti-LGBTIQ laws, but also as the country doesn't have a good record for protecting human rights and press freedom. We interviewed Brian in French and translated the interview for you.
And here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
Absolutely very hidden. We use apps like Signal that are very, very secret apps used to remain hidden. We use fake email accounts or secured emails. No geolocalization is used. There are always plans A, B, or C to try not to be located. So it's very risky.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
In Algeria, homosexuality and cross-dressing are prohibited by law. The prevailing social attitude towards LGBTIQ people is openly hostile and even violent, with stoning often reported as well as vigilante beatings. Often, the police even join in. Ryan is an Algerian LGBTIQ activist now based in France, but working with the Algerian organization TransHomoDZ. Ryan works between France and Algeria, and we ask Ryan to tell us what life is like for the LGBTIQ community in Algeria. This story contains description of violence that some people might find distressing.
Bonjour tout le monde, je commence à me présenter. Donc c'est Ryan, je suis activiste.
Hello everyone, I'll start by introducing myself. My name is Ryan and I'm an Algerian activist and involved with human rights in Algeria. I worked on the LGBTIQ situation in Algeria as I'm affected and it affects the community. The Algerian society doesn't show a lot of tolerance with regards to homosexual people. Gay people are often at the receiving end of homophobic slurs and can be the target of violence and even homicides. As a result, the majority of gay people in Algeria have a horrible life. With regards to society, there's harassment, school bullying, bullying from neighbours, religion, family, and even at university. I can tell you the story about Hasif, a medical student in his fifth year, murdered in his dorm room in 2019. They wrote on the wall of his room, "He is gay." So it was absolutely terrible. Frankly, it's the worst thing one expects in a homophobic society.
Qu'on attend d'une société homophobe.
How did people find out that Hasif was gay?
Well, actually, by the dating sites and the outings. The outings, it's very dangerous here in Algeria because we can't out gay people here as it poses a great risk. There's already a great risk from family, from the state, from the law, because when you have Algeria criminalizing homosexuality through Articles 338 and 333, so homosexuality is penalized with from 2 months to 2 years in prison and a fine between 5,000 to 10,000 dinar. So you have the law and the family. It's very difficult.
Vous avez la loi et vous avez la famille. Du coup, c'est très difficile.
Could we go back on the outing phenomenon? A few weeks ago, an Instagram influencer, Sophia Talouni, called for people to be outed in Morocco. Is it also something that takes place often in Algeria?
En fait, ça arrive en Algérie, oui, par des amis à des quais.
It happens in Algeria, outings from friends and homophobic people that uses to threaten, to blackmail gay people, as outing to your family is very dangerous. So an outing can lead to suicide, leaving your home. There are many dangers to it. With regards to what happened in Morocco, my organization expressed support to the Moroccan community by posting support messages on local web pages, but it continues to happen now in Algeria.
Brian, you describe yourself as an LGBTIQ activist. What is it like to be an activist in Algeria, in a country that criminalizes homosexuality?
Déjà être homosexuel en Algérie, c'est puni dans la loi.
First, being gay in Algeria is illegal. Plus, if you are gay and an LGBTIQ activist, you are considered like a terrorist. I'll leave it up to you to picture what it could be like in Algeria to be treated like a terrorist because of your sexuality.
Je vous laisse imaginer que ça allait dire terroriste en Algérie par rapport à son orientation sexuelle.
So are all your activities hidden?
C'était caché, c'était très très discret. Genre on utilise des applications très très.
Absolutely, very hidden. We use apps like Signal that are very very secret apps used to remain hidden. We use fake email accounts or secured emails. No geolocalization is used. There are always plans A, B, or C to try not to be located. So it's very risky. But even so, as we are from the LGBTIQ community, we need to take risk to provoke change. It is essential to do something to try to change the society. Of course, if I don't do anything, nothing will ever change and one day we won't be around. It's important to make sure that you are not putting your community at risk. There is a need to balance staying safe and doing something.
Yes, sir.
En prenant en considération les mesures de sécurité.
So tonight on Joy 94.9, we're talking to Ryan, an LGBTIQ activist from Transhomo DZ. Now, this is a pretty confronting story, and I think it's important up front to talk about where people might go if they're finding this particularly distressing or supporting. I mean, obviously, you know, come back to the story at a time that's good for you. We do have with Joy, if you go to joy.org.au/support, we have a number of different support channels which are available 24 hours a day. So some of the ones that I would particularly suggest would be if you're distressed about this, you could talk to Beyond Blue or to QLife. And also Lifeline is available 24 hours a day. I was just reflecting, the rest of you, why do we tell a story such as this, which is so confronting? I mean, I've got my own reasons, but why do you think it's so important that these stories get out?
Well, I think part of this is I'm constantly inspired by activists in these sorts of countries who, despite the dangers, are willing to speak up.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that we don't... Sorry, Madison, I think it's important that we don't become complacent about what happens in other parts of the world for LGBTIQ people.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I mean, it is confronting, but it's also looking at the hope that might be, you know, things happening and things still going on despite being so dangerous for these people there on the ground. They are still wanting to progress the attitude of the people, trying to change societal views. And I think it's important, as Paul was saying, that we don't forget that these things are happening. We are where we are in Australia and a lot of countries, but there's a lot of struggle still happening for LGBTIQ rights.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, definitely, Stefan. And I think this story shows resilience of the community. And also, as we move through it, you'll hear about advocacy and how what people are doing to actually address these breaches of human rights. One of the things that I guess is really strong in this, and we've had in previous stories, especially that you've covered, Stefan, is how outing is weaponized in countries where being gay or being open about your sexuality or gender identity is illegal.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think it has become easier to out people. I think with the social media, with the dating apps, it's kind of easier to spot people and use that. Although it's promoted, you know, greater connection, but it's also a tool that can backfire quite dramatically.
Yeah, the apps can be used as traps. People posing as members of the community online, get your details and then post them socially and out you to your family, friends, work colleagues.
I think one of the most challenging parts of that, I find, you know, you in a country like this, you understand that there's laws and, you know, you and the risks associated with that, but it's your family. If your family... if you're outed, your family rejects you, you lose all those social supports in the community. It's a tremendous risk.
There's even violence in the family if you're discovered.
Absolutely. And, yeah, it's not the first time that we've heard about this in countries. It seems to be a bit of a common thing.
I think you've got to admire these people, especially if they're treated as terrorists in their own country for standing up for something they believe in.
Yeah, that language I found really, it resonated with me that, you know, being treated like a terrorist, but still the defiance that we need to take a risk in order to make change. There's lots more coming up where we find out what covert LGBTIQ activities are taking place in Algeria and how trans people manage to get by. This is World Wide Wave.
This is Tiseke Kasambala from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
This is Joy 94.9 in Melbourne and streaming worldwide at joy.org.au. Of course, even though we are currently broadcasting outside the studios, you can still message us on our Facebook page, which has been exceptionally busy this last week, particularly with the story out of Kazakhstan. So a mixed martial arts fighter has called LGBT people worse than dogs and burnt the pride flag. It's generated quite a lot of interest. Joe says, why does a degenerate like this even get airtime? Just ignore his ignorant rantings. I like Tanuja's response. I think I saw him at New York Pride last year. Mark says, because he's called people, LGBTQ people, worse than dogs. Mark says, well, what's wrong with dogs? And Jaden, you get the quip of the week. Amanda Nunes is a much better MMA fighter and she's a lesbian.
Tonight we're bringing you an insight into the challenged lives of LGBTIQ people in Algeria. Ryan is a lawyer and an activist from the NGO Trans Homo DZ. We asked Ryan what activities are taking place in Algeria to support the hidden LGBTIQ community.
Par exemple, on a le Tintin, je ne sais pas ce que vous connaissez ou pas, c'est la journée nationale.
For example, we have the Tintin. It's the National Day of Solidarity with the LGBTIQ community in Algeria. It was created 20 years ago by Algerian activists. I wasn't an activist 20 years ago, but I am taking over the baton. It's held each year on the 10th of the 10th.
where candles are lit and messages are posted on Facebook or pictures to show solidarity from the international LGBTIQ community to the Algerian LGBTIQ community. Also on that day, there are organisations that arrange events, for example, dinners, meetings or film previews to raise awareness to other members of the Algerian population. As an example, I am a member of THDZ. THDZ's last activity was a training program for lawyers in Algeria. As I studied law in Algeria, I have contacts there and I was able to get in contact with some lawyers. I organised an awareness training session with those lawyers. As homosexuality is criminalised, I targeted these people to try to defend the LGBTIQ community, as there is a lot of overt homophobia in the Algerian society. Many lawyers do not want to defend LGBTIQ people. I decided to run this training to expose lawyers to LGBTIQ issues and how to better defend people, what kind of lawyers can be used to defend members of the LGBTIQ community, and what kind of international reporting and support we can draw on to find solutions and defend the LGBTIQ community in Algeria. This is training I'm very proud to have initiated, not only because I studied law, but because to finish my studies, I wanted to write my thesis on articles 333 and 338, and they wouldn't let me do it. I had to change what I wrote my thesis on, and I'm still upset that the faculty didn't allow me to do what I wanted, which is why I decided to run this training to raise awareness.
C'est pour ça que j'ai insisté de faire cette formation pour sensibiliser.
In many colonized countries, the laws that govern LGBTIQ rights are a legacy of colonization. What was it like in Algeria before French colonization, do you think?
Oui, dommage parce qu'on a hérité la haine.
Yes, it's a real shame. We inherited the hate towards the LGBTIQ community from the French colonization. Now in France, you have same-sex weddings, and in Algeria, the LGBTIQ community is being put in prison. It wasn't as dangerous to be gay, and yes, religion had an impact and it was difficult, but now we have religion and society and the laws to discriminate. It was hard, but not as hard as now.
Je pense c'était moins dur, mais c'était dur aussi.
The LGBTIQ community is made up of a lot of different people. What is it like for trans people in Algeria?
En fait, les personnes trans, c'est très dangereux en Algérie.
It is extremely dangerous in Algeria for trans people. There is a problem of identity. Trans FM is less risky because Algeria is a patriarchal society. So FM can be tolerated, but M to F is very dangerous. It's the shame. It is dangerous to wear a wig or clothes which define their gender. It's very, very difficult for them. It's also against the law, and there are prison sentences. It's more difficult for them with regard to national service and all these things. You can't officially change gender, so it's very dangerous. I can tell you that at THDZ, we looked after a trans person, M2F, who was raped and in a horrific situation. We sought help from an organisation called Femmes en Détresse, Women in Distress, and it was a first in Algeria for an LGBTIQ organisation to work with an Algerian organisation not working with LGBTIQ people. They took care of the person, and in collaboration with the French embassy, we were able to seek asylum for that trans person, and she is now in France. She was lucky that we were able to help. For others, it's extremely difficult. Trans people often find themselves on the streets, there's assaults, so it's very difficult.
Elle a eu de la chance, mais les autres, franchement, c'est très difficile.
Algerian activist and lawyer Ryan on Joy 94.9. We are tonight in Algeria. One of the great things about the projects that he's working on, and clearly he's very proud of this too, the training of lawyers. I thought this is such a exceptional program and opportunity where he's gone out to train local lawyers to be able to defend members of the LGBTI community and to know the laws and what buttons to push. It's such a practical example of how a difference can be made to people on the LGBT people on the ground in Algeria.
And so brave, I mean, to out himself to lawyers when it's illegal in the country.
Absolutely.
And I think it's not only, you know, kind of changing their attitude, but also enabling them to find the loopholes to be able to defend people. I think it's really quite good because there are two laws that criminalise homosexuality and same-sex sexual activity in Algeria, inherited from
the French, not the English. The French.
The French this time, Stéphane. Yeah, it's your fault this time.
It is my fault. a lot of what happened in North Africa is our fault, really. But yes, inherited from the French, and obviously not very. Yes.
Again, his language there. We inherited the hate.
I was surprised that he wasn't allowed to actually do his thesis on those. Because you just thought a seat of learning like a university would be quite happy to test out the colonial laws.
Do you think, given that I'm guessing that the government funds universities, that do you think the universities are being, you know, risk averse? They don't want to rock the boat and risk their funding?
Well, it could be an explanation that could resonate with what's happening in other parts of the world, yes.
He did also talk a lot about the risks for trans people, that idea that if you're female to male trans, that's okay because it fits in with the macho narrative, but male to female is actually really dangerous, can be violent and you know, even things like rape.
Yeah, and I think the story it tells is quite distressing.
Do you think in that situation, though, that even if they, it's unlikely, even if they change the law, that the culture won't necessarily reflect that? That it will be, the culture will take time to catch up if they ever did change the law? Because it seems to be so ingrained.
I can't see the law changing anytime soon, Paul, sadly.
No.
Can't see it changing in Algeria. I mean, we've talked about other countries in the show, Tunisia, Morocco, and it's probably changing a little bit more there, but Algeria will be the last one, and sadly, these things will carry on. But I think it was interesting that they were able to work with organizations that have never worked with the LGBTIQ organization, and I think that is one of the steps as well, is changing people's attitudes, saying, oh, we're not that different, we're being oppressed as well, and maybe we should work together.
We're going to find out a bit more about what hope there is for change in the future in Algeria for the LGBTI community. It's Joy 94.9 and this is World Wide Wave.
This is Samuel from Kenya on World Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe, one queer story at a time. World Wide Wave. And tonight we're in the northern African country of Algeria. A special hello to everyone listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a review.
Yes, indeed. We love those reviews. Love to hear from you. Our guest tonight is Ryan, an activist with Trans Homo DZ, an organisation in Algeria. He's also a lawyer working between France and Algeria. We asked Ryan what Transhomo DZ is doing and whether there is hope on the horizon for the LGBTIQ community in Algeria.
Yes, I live between Algeria and France. I took part, I was amongst the activists on the ground and all with the Carré Féministe.
And Ryan, can you tell us what are the risks in Algeria for activists like you?
C'est le prison, carrément.
It's prison, quite frankly.
C'est le prison.
With all that is happening with everything, it's prison. In Algeria, not just for me, but also for journalists, activists are imprisoned. And for example, I have a friend who is an LGBTIQ activist. He was arrested by the police and was given 1 year in prison. He wasn't convicted because of his sexual orientation, but because of participating in the demonstrations.
Ryan, can you tell me about a little bit more about your organization, if there are any other organization, and kind of what you do?
C'est Transhomo DZ.
It's Transhomo DZ. There are many Algerian organizations such as LON, there is THTZ, there is the Mahapa Collective, and there is Abu Nawas. It's an organization that works on LGBTIQ safety and activist safety. We run workshops to make sure people stay safe. We run focus groups to raise awareness with the general public on LGBTIQ issues, human rights, religion, and gender. We also run training for psychologists. This training was worthwhile as, for example, many psychologists are being asked to see LGBTIQ people. It's interesting because we in Algeria, as soon as the family knows that their child is homosexual, one of the first things they do is take them to traditional healers, marabout, as they see there is something wrong with you. If you are from a more modern family, you are taken to a psychologist. Psychologists in Algeria are still taught that homosexuality is a disease, it's not normalized. So I'll let you imagine what will happen when you are forced to see a psychologist. It's very difficult. It's because of that we run this training. It's helped a lot of people from the community know more and accept their sexual orientation.
The situation you've described in Algeria is really concerning for LGBTIQ community, for trans people. Can you see some changes that on the horizon? What does the future look like?
Already as an activist and as a member of several organizations in Algeria who help LGBTIQ people, it's a start which is very fulfilling for me because the community is working on itself. Because there's a massive amount of work in the community because there are closeted people, there are people receiving threats, survivors of rape. First, we work with LGBTIQ people to assist, and also we work with the general public to try to change attitudes. AWIN has published its first report on the LGBTIQ situation in Algeria, and it was presented at the Human Rights Council. In 2017, it was presented when the Algerian delegation and the foreign minister were in attendance. And through this report, AWIN has been able to talk about the state of play in Algeria for the LGBTIQ community, the organizations, and the discrimination that is found in Algerian laws. In 2022, we hope that this report will be taken into account when the government does its periodical review. That was a first to present such a report in front of the Algerian government, and it had international coverage, being able to show that show the world the discrimination we are facing.
So there is hope in Algeria.
Yes, yeah, I think so. Yes, yeah. There's always hope. I'm staying optimistic. And I also wanted to mention the support that applications like Grindr have given the community in Algeria. In collaboration with the Grindr Foundation, we broadcast an alert message to tell people not to disclose their location, personal information or photos. We also work on trying to get people to access care and condoms. We have messages to encourage STI screening, where to find condoms, so it is a good things collaboration with the Foundation for the Community. They also use the app to broadcast support messages for all gay people in Algeria. It was a great support for the community. It is a message of hope.
Ryan, LGBT activist from Algeria, thank you very much for talking to us at Worldwide Wave.
Thank you. You are welcome. We are here for that. You know,
it's good that there is some glimmer of hope, as much as it is distant. Stefan, you're probably a little more across. He mentioned Care Feminista, a demonstration movement. Tell us a bit about that.
So this was specifically created by a group called Algerian Women for Changes Towards Equality, and it's a protest that has been happening weekly in Algeria, mostly in Algiers and big cities, to try to increase women's rights. So I think as we heard in the previous little interview, Transhomo DZ is working quite nicely with organizations that also promote women's rights, and I think it's the way of connecting the two. And well, human rights are not very oppressed in Algeria, so let's try to work together to increase action. So it's taking part of this when it was in Algeria and working between France and Algeria, taking part this demonstration. Which is, I think, it's a good for both sides.
It's quite a common thing in countries where there are quite poor rights for. It's usually the start of change. Usually happens when there's some sort of link between minority groups, and women's rights is a really strong one, because it's, you know, roughly 50% of the population. Yeah. So for other groups to sort of link and work together, I think is a really really good strong sign.
Were you surprised when he said that homosexuality is still classed as a disease by psychologists? I thought that had been taken off the... It's only taken off the UN list, hasn't it?
WHO, yeah, it has. For a while now. It's been taken out of the psychologists and psychiatrists use the DMS. Again, I wasn't particularly surprised, to be honest, because it has been more than 30 years. I think it's taken off the WHO list, so it is surprising in this way. But when you see the context and what is talked about all throughout this interview, it kind of doesn't come as a surprise. But what's good though is that the training for the psychologist and trying to look at what they do with the traditional healers as well. They didn't mention it too much, because if you are a traditional family, you take your kids to a traditional healer first, and then if you're a little bit more wealthy family, you go to a psychologist. But it's a good thing, like the training for lawyers, training for psychologists, all these groups that I have impact on LGBTIQ community.
One of the other things that really jumped out to me is one of the challenges they have in raising this as an issue and being able to, you know, get some voices talking about it locally and educate people is that activists and journalists are quite often put in jail, and they're not necessarily convicted or arrested around issues of sexuality, but more for demonstrating, for doing or saying the wrong things against the government.
It's a feature, a traditional feature of society that's not quite democratic, really, isn't it?
He did also mention, was it 1010? That's an international or a day of support where the international community can show support for the Algerian LGBTI community online.
Yes.
I'd love to know when that is. I'm sure we can give that
on the 10th of October.
10th of October, Matt.
10th of October.
We
will diarise that so we can generate support for them in Algeria. It does pose that risk, though, that is it the outsiders, the Westerners telling them what to do? And, you know, he mentioned the UN periodic review there as well, which we know other countries have used to great effect, where if you can get minority voices mentioned on the world stage, you know, it almost guilts the country into looking at their laws that are discriminatory.
Yeah, I think my interest and my almost excitement and my bit of hope from this is that in this time of COVID, we've all had to think about how we do things differently. And so one of the things we need to think about doing differently is how we advocate. And if online is what we've got, what are the creative ways in which we can do that? How can we get our messages out? And I suspect that there are people who've got more time on their hands now to think about how we do this and how we do this on a personal basis, how we get the stories out safely, how we create advocacy at that local level. And I'll be really interested to see, you know, if we're going to get some stories coming out over, this is Pride Month after all, and if we're going to get stories out from countries like Algeria, where we see more advocacy from grassroots, you know, can it get out in a way that's safe? That I think is a real opportunity at this time. That's my ray of hope, or one of my rays of hope. And also to hear from, you know, advocates like Ryan, who are just getting out there and doing this. You know, this is risky work that they are doing, and it's inspiring. It's inspiring too, and hopefully it will inspire more grassroots people, and grassroots people will be working with people like Ryan.
But I mean, it is, as you say, it is risky. But Ryan's saying, you know, there is hope, and there's always hope when you do something and when you try to change attitude. So it wasn't, you know. It told us a story, really distressing in parts, but still with the hope that what is doing and what the other organization, because he mentioned a few and we'll put the links on our website, you know, they're doing great things, and they're doing great things in very, very challenging circumstances. And I think that's the hope, that we are resilient enough to be able to do that. And yes, I think using the social media, using the internet in a different way is probably going to give a little bit more clout to this thing.
And with people like Ryan there fighting away, we do trust that that hope will be shared around in Algeria.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
We want to thank Ryan tonight for the interview. And Ryan is a lawyer and activist with Transhomo DZ. You can find the website at transhomosdz.org. There's other groups such as Abu Nawas Algeria, and I also want to thank James for the voiceover translation.
We're going to make him an honorary member of our team. Thanks, James. Big thank you to all the messages on Facebook, Hongwei, Margarita, Dom, and Troyce Lee, and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. It's W3Joy on Facebook.
And World Wide Wave is very much a team effort. Behind the scenes, our podcaster Peter and our social media master Dean.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.